All right, Kevin Barker, 15 hits, 8 starters with at least one RBI for the Blue Jays. Everybody with at least one hit. The Jays 11-7 winners over the Oakland. Did it again. Over the Athletics at the Rogers Center. Back above 500 at 29-28. It is Blue Jays talk with Blair and Barker. The numbers, as always, 416-870-0590. Star 591 888-666-0590. If you are texting us, 590-590 is the text line. Balanced offense, Kevin, for the second night in a row. A lot of runs scored, taking advantage of some pretty mediocre pitching from the Athletics. 11 walks, the Athletics tonight, leading to 4 runs. Compare this offensive outburst to last night's offensive outburst.
Yeah, I think it's about the same. Look, tonight I think they took advantage of, hit it where it's pitch kind of thing. You know, we haven't been seeing a ton of that. They were laying off the ball that was a little off the plate away. They were forcing any pitcher that was on the mound to throw it on the plate, which is, key. I've been saying this forever. If you let the pitcher throw it down the middle, sooner or later he'll do it. Now, a lot of the hits they got were decent pitches. They were catching a bunch at the plate. But, if it was away, they went – they hit it the other way. If it was down and away, they would hit it to center. Like, if it was a hanging split finger, they would hit it to the moon. If it was a cutter and a hitter's count that was a little middle up, they're bridging that. They're going back leg city. So it was basically you getting a hitter's count, you get a good pitch to hit, you hit it where it's pitch, right? That, I think, was the key there. Now, again, I just don't know what you read into this, right? Mm-hmm. You're facing guys who are not – a lot of the times breaking eggs when it comes to Oakland, or, hey, I did it.
Aha, look at you. There you go.
Well, yeah. You forced me into doing it.
That's all right.
Yeah. So it's, the A's are, when it comes to their pitching staff as a whole, it's just, I guess, there's a couple of guys down there who throw hard, and then there's everybody else. But, doesn't take anything away from what the Blue Jays are doing. They're, 1-9, other than Varsho. Most guys had some quality at-bats and were doing things that they were supposed to be doing. They got enough pitching from their starter. Bassett early on looked to me like he was forcing velocity. I mean, he's grunting really, really loud, which is very odd. It's rare that we ever hear him. He'll grunt occasionally in those big moments. But every pitch looked to me like he was trying to throw a little harder, which it was. The cutter velocity was up. The sinker velocity was up. The curve was okay. Occasionally when he did get hurt, it was command of the two-seamer. It was two-seaming more than it was sinking. But when you're scoring this amount of runs, you just keep them around. You give the lineup a chance to get back in there and start having some more quality at-bats, and that's exactly what happened. So, yeah, this is what you do against these teams like this. You get confident. And I think this is what the lineup's doing. This is what the pitching staff's doing. Jay's been playing great defense all year. So don't expect anything different tomorrow or the next day either.
Yeah, this does. Again, it's always hard to think of sweeping a 4-game series, but this, at least from a distance, seemed to be the toughest pitching matchup. Or I should say, you were facing a pitcher in Jeffrey Springs who has had a certain amount of success against you in the past. I'm not saying that it's clear sailing the rest of the way, but I think if you looked at the matchup, this one was the one that you may have circled a little bit as being difficult. But I mean, Jeffrey Springs was gone after 2+. There's been a lot going on in these two games, a lot in the base paths, a lot in the field. But it's kind of, through two games, almost become the Ernie Clement / Addison Barger series. Ernie Clement, again, and 4 hits tonight, another home run. Addison Barger, 3 runs scored, a home run. And, the defense that we've almost come to take for granted at third base. I mean, I was trying to figure out, there was it was a Davidson in the 6th inning where he dove for the ball, came up, and I mean, it's like he didn't, there was no rush, there was nothing. It was just like, it was really remarkable. It's almost like he double clutched and then threw and got the guy. He's He's just got such a good arm, man.
Well, yeah, with what Clement's doing and what Barger's starting to do, you know, be interesting to see when Jimenez get back, how John handles it. Again, I mean, I don't know how you keep these two dudes out of the lineup. Now, again, this is you're facing the sort of pitching you're facing with the A's that you won't normally face.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting Phillies next. You're going to get Fuego. Like
got Twinkies, you got Cardinals. Yeah. Phillies and Twins are going to run some velo at you.
Absolutely. So, you know, can you continue to have the quality at bats that you're having now? You know, you're all of a sudden confident, like passing the baton with having the at bat that – you know, when it's pitched the way I hit it away, if it's down the middle, I can do whatever. If it's a hanger, I hit that thing to the moon. Like, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do on the pitch and the location that you're supposed to be doing it in. Can you just do that when it's added 4 or 5 miles an hour to it? But who cares? Right now they're doing it. It's a lot of fun to watch, and they look confident and having fun.
They certainly have looked confident through the two games of this series after that difficult swing in Tampa. In Texas. Jen in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Oh, hi. One thing, I heard the interview with Denzel Clark.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad he did well tonight.
And that was a terrific catch. Really was.
Yeah, well, he has a lot of action there. Second thing, I mean, let's go pitching independent because it doesn't count with Oakland. But my partner and I have watched ball since 77.
Mm-hmm.
And the two times we in unison went, whoa, was when Barger threw over the first.
Yep.
It's like, holy cow, just leave him there. Let him, he's not Chapman now, but let him flourish or do something. Because those are two of the more exciting moments in the last 2 weeks of Jays baseball. And that's all I can say. I don't know where Jimenez fits in when he comes back. But Barger is, I don't know how he'll hit. I know we don't hit fast pitching and all that. But those are exciting plays. And we have few and far between.
Jenna, I appreciate the call. I'll tell you what, I would love Addison Barger to hit because I am with you. I love watching him play defense. You know, we've been spoiled at third base over the, you know, couple of years here. I mean, between Josh, who was a pretty good third baseman until his, you know, skills started to deteriorate. You know, we had Scott Rolen here for a little bit as well. We've had Matt Chapman here, so we've had some pretty good defense at third base. And, yeah, I mean, I think Kevin's probably right here in that this is great right now, but the Phillies are a different kettle of fish completely to the Athletics. But I don't know. I mean, if it's a righty on the mound, Kevin, I have a hard time not leaving Clement and Barger in there if they're scoring runs and, you know, and if they're hitting. I mean, I know there's this whole thing that you don't necessarily lose your job when you're injured, but I mean, I don't, you know, luckily these things tend to take care of themselves, don't they?
It does. Well, you got to remember too, Jimenez is making a ton of money. You know, the Jays, mm-hmm. you know, it's not the cheapest of players, and you know, sort of Ernie is that rover. You know, he can play third, he can play short, he can play first, he can play second. Like, he can do a bunch of things. So I'm sure if he keeps hitting, John will find a place for him, either DH and a guy, him playing the field. Like, he'll get him on the field somehow to where you can have Jimenez, Ernie, and Barger on the field all at the same time because of who's DH. And John will figure it out. If somebody's hitting, he's going to figure it out. But to Jen's point, she made a great point about Barger. You know, Barger in his last 30 games is hitting almost 300.
Mm-hmm.
He's slugging almost 500.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the at-bats, like tonight, he had a couple of walks, he hit a big one. Like, that's what sort of, you know, what a guy who can run produce. Now, I'm not saying he's there yet because he does have holes, because
mm-hmm.
he does take a lot of Big Daddy hacks, but he's toned that down enough to where, you know, he's a competitive at-bat. He's got an idea what he's trying to do. He can use most of the big part of the field. You know, we've seen him go down the left field line. We've seen him hit line drives, backspin to left center field. We've seen him hit a homer on a hanging split finger. Like, He can go line to line. He can do some things. He can hit velocity, right? He's just sort of learning what not to swing at, you know, how to ambush. That's a big part of a young kid's game. You know, he's toned down some things when it just comes to, I think he feels like now he don't have to take those kind of swings, right? Mm-hmm. He keeps the front shoulder in, and it's nice and direct because he has tremendous bat speed. He's going to catch up to most things. So, yeah, I think Jen, again, makes a tremendous point. Keep him on the field. Let him figure it out. And, again, him being a right-handed thrower and a left-handed hitter so he can play third, I mean, that's a benefit to the organization. You said this, I think, about a month ago. You know, what if they found their third baseman now?
Yeah.
I mean, the that's pretty
a
cool
big question. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, it takes pressure off the front office to try and get creative, which we all know sometimes they're not real good at.
No, and, you know, if you can have a cost-effective third baseman who's going to play good defense, give you some power, and he's your own guy, you know, I mean, we've talked about it. This is an organization that needs good organizational stories, and Addison Barger's a guy that they drafted, signed, rode the development curve with, and I'm with you. You know, you said this about 3 or 4 weeks ago. You talked about Barger, and you said you wanted to see more of him because you thought there was something there worth seeing. Like it. Sometimes I find this organization tries to sell us on players, mm-hmm. and I don't think they tried to sell us necessarily on Barger.
You know what the beauty of him is? He can slug against the velocity, which they don't have a ton of that.
Yep.
They really don't have that. And he's one of the guys because he's left-handed and he's got a quick swing, right? I mean, it's not always a hard swing. It's about how quick you can mm-hmm. swing it, right? How short it is, where your hand direction's at, you know, how long the barrel stays in the zone, which gives you a chance to cover north and south. So, yeah, and you know that what Jen's talking about, how excited it is to watch him throw it across the diamond. Yeah. I'm with her. I mean, it is. It's a lot of fun. Dude's got a cannon, and he ain't afraid to use it all the time, which is pretty awesome.
Guy in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk. Well, you were on Blue Jays Talk, Guy. Brendan in Edmonton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Good evening, guys. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the bottom of the lineup and the quality approaches they were having today. I know it's like the Athletics or pitching staff is not very good and struggled to throw strikes clearly today on pretty much everybody that they put out there. But there's something to be said about being patient in those situations as well. And today they really were that. And aggressive on the stuff that they needed to hit, right? I mean, what is it, the 33 hits in the last two games?
Mm-hmm.
I know Ernie's accounted for, what, 7 of those mm-hmm. all on his own? But a quality approach from those guys. And I just wanted to ask what kind of adjustments a young player has to make when they're coming up like Addison? Because he struggled at great stretches of times last year when he came up. I believe I called in earlier this year and asked you what he had to do in order to get everyday playing time. And for me, he's done that over the month of May. He's almost kind of forced their hand to give him more playing time. But what kind of adjustments a young player needs to make in the off season mentally to try and lay off those bad pitches and really be aggressive on those meatballs down the center of the plate?
Yeah, it's a great call. Yeah, appreciate that. Look, I think the first thing Addison sort of went through for a little while, and Roden, I think, is going through this a little bit too, is the knowing you're a big leaguer. Like, you got to believe that you belong. And I think Addison, just by the way, you know, he's walking on and off the field and the way he throws the ball across the diamond and the way he's not afraid now to hit with two strikes. You know, he'll take a strike that normally – I don't know, say 3 weeks ago, he would have been taking a giant hack at and either popped out or grounded out and his at-bat would have been over, and optically it just wouldn't look the way it looks now. So, you know, I think the first step is you got to believe, looks like he's there. The next step is to get your pitch. You have to understand what you do well. You know, he's not going to be able to cover the entire strike zone. The only way he's going to learn that is if they keep running him out there. And, you know, I think I said this when he got called up. just run into a couple to force John's hand because nobody else is running into a couple. And he's done that, but, you know, everybody's oohing and aahing over the exit velocity thing. He did enough of that to turn heads, open eyes, and get him in the lineup more. And now he, you know, they can't keep him out of the lineup. So that, I think, is the biggest deal, is just knowing you're a big leaguer, and then sort of the process going forward would be what you do well. What part of the zone can you get barrel to most of the time? And for me, anyway, I think he's learning that on the fly, and he's doing a heck of a job with it.
11-7, the Blue Jays beat the Athletics tonight. They've taken the first two games of this four-game series. We will step aside, come back, hear from the skipper. He had some thoughts on Chris Bassitt tonight, and we'll look at the out-of-town scoreboard as well. All that ahead. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You know, I thought Chris had good stuff. You know, you look up and his velocity was better, quick first, and just he kind of grinded a little bit. You know, I think, you know, when you have so many weapons, I haven't talked to him, but I think he felt good and threw a lot of cutters and fastballs, and it seemed like they kind of got pretty set on that. And when he's throwing his curve and sweeper, it makes everything a little bit better. So he had good stuff, and it was kind of just one of those grindy outings for him, you know, where you want it, it gets a little bit closer than you want, and they had a couple big hits to get him, you know, to 6-5 there, I think it was in the fifth. So he battled, you know, and I thought his stuff was good, and it was kind of just one of those nights for him.
Yeah, it was one of those nights for Chris Bassitt. He did grind. He did battle. We got a little, felt a little closer than 11-7, I think, at different points. But the Jays hung on for the win, 11-7. They're now a game over 500. Time now to take a look around the AL East with Bet365. You can download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19 plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. Well, we started the night with the Yankees having a 7-game lead, 7.5 game lead atop the American League East. That was the biggest of any division leader in baseball. They are on the West Coast taking on the Dodgers in a repeat, or I guess a rematch of the World Series. The teams are tied 1-1. It's still early in the game. I'm sure the Jays, Rays, Red Sox in particular will be doing a little cheering for the Dodgers here in hopes that maybe the Yankees come back to the rest of the pack. The Red Sox beat the Atlanta Braves 5-1. Houston, they beat Tampa 2-1. They did the Jays a solid. Baltimore beat the Chicago White Sox 2-1. So the American League East standings are as follows. The Yankees 35-20. They are playing. They are 9-1 in their last 10. They've won 5 in a row. Tampa Bay is 29-28. They are 8-2 in their last 10. The Jays 29-28. Boston 28-31. And bringing up the rear, Mr. Barker's Orioles.
I don't want him.
At 20-36. You got him. You got no choice in the matter. I'm relinquishing my ownership of the Orioles.
Wow, it's quick. I thought you were a Tampa Bay guy.
I've always kind of been a Tampa Bay.
You're a little all over the map, ain't you, front runner?
A little bit.
Yeah, all right. At least you're honest.
I mean, I am honest. I don't mind being a bit of a front runner.
You'll be a Yankee next week, huh?
No, that will not happen. there are two things that will not happen. I'll not be a Yankee, and I'll not be a Red Sox. It's just it's not happening. It's just not. It's never going to happen.
It makes my life so much better when the Red Sox are just all over themselves. Boy, it just.
Yeah, there is something. There's something enjoyable about watching it, them. Yeah, there is.
Man, there is. Just they basically hate each other, and I love it.
Yeah, there's a train wreck element to it. What did our friend Jeff Passan say today? The Boston-ness of it?
Yeah.
When he was talking about the situation with Roman Anthony, the Boston-ness of it. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, yeah. I take a certain amount of schadenfreude, is that the word? I take a certain amount of happiness watching the Red Sox kind of bobbing and weaving. The Yankees, I really don't care. I've never developed a hatred for the Yankees or
they win all
an immense
the time.
Liking for the Yankees.
That's why.
They're just the Yankees.
The Red Sox are a little all over the place.
Yeah,
the
Yankees are
awesome.
Going to do what they're going to do. You know, they seem to be, the Yankees in general just seem to be a little less of a pain in the ass and a little less drama queens than the Red Sox. The Red Sox are kind of drama queens.
And they were everybody's, pick to click.
Yeah, and the ballpark they play in stinks.
I like the ballpark. I went deep there. I love it.
North America's oldest open urinal, Fenway Park. Guy in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
You're back, Guy.
I'm back, man. I'm back. Wow, what a roller coaster. I mean, Tuesday, I don't think I've ever been that angry with this team after that lethargic game. And here they are, you know, they won three in a row. And so it's very much a roller coaster type of season we're in for, obviously. But the one underlier, I think, when you look at the numbers, the team numbers with the Jays and all the division leaders, is their road record. If you look at their, you know, they're playing 600 at home. And keep in mind, I know it's like 38% or whatever the schedule is completed. But, you know, they're playing 600 at home. They're playing just above 400 on the road, and they're a 500 baseball team. If you look at all the division leaders, it's their way they play on the road. And I think that's something that the Jays need to improve on is their road record. They need to get to 500 on the road if they really want to be taken seriously to do anything. Even some of the wild card teams, you look at them, you know, unless you're a team like Minnesota who doesn't lose at home but can't win on the road, it seems to be the big underlier. So I just want to know your thoughts on, you know, if it's too early to make that assumption. And then, you know, just to go on what Barger was saying about, or I said Barger, what Barker. You guys were saying. Yeah, Barker, thanks.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
A few more homers. And we'll be able to get them confused.
So just to piggyback on that, because that's what I was originally calling on, obviously you can't take Barger out of the lineup. He's got to stay in there. But, I mean, Clement against lefties is like Babe Ruth. I mean, or not Babe Ruth, but maybe Wade Boggs. But, you know, do you possibly, and I know you touched on it, do you possibly do a lefty-righty type of thing with Jimenez and Clement? And I know Barker, you know, you'll say, you know, they're paying him $20 million, you're going to play that guy. But, I mean, the numbers are just outrageous. Just want to know your thoughts on that. And have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks, Guy. Thanks for the call. Kevin, I'll turn it over to you because I think we're probably in the same page.
Well, I think they play the hot hand. You know, if Jimenez comes back, looks like the Jimenez before he went on the IL, he ain't playing a ton. Like, I think he'll play enough that, you know, he'll keep Jimenez happy and, you know, there won't be no tension in the clubhouse. But if he ain't hitting, I mean, every chance John gets to, you know, to flip-flop those two guys or get the hottest hand in the lineup, John's going to do it. I mean, you got to give John credit. John's doing whatever it takes to flip that lineup on its end to get the most out of it. He's ringing that thing as much as he possibly can. So, yeah, I mean, that's a great point by Guy. Guy's paying attention. Now, the road record, you know, I just don't think you can look at that yet because the big guys in the lineup are not, you know, just doing their thing yet. I mean, they basically win in all these games up until the last couple of days with the bottom of the order.
Well, and without Anthony Santander winning the IL today, but I mean, he didn't really write himself too large over last night's game either. So,
no, yeah. So I think that's sort of to Guy's point or question, you know, I think you got to let that play out a little bit. If they could be 10 or 12 above 500, make, you know, the home stadium tough to come in and play. They hit a bunch of homers. They're confident there and could just fight and claw and force their way to 500 in a road. I think they're a playoff team doing it that way.
That to me is, you know, further to Guy's point, I think it's hugely important this team sort of try to regain a home field advantage, try to regain a little bit of the swagger. I don't know if they're ever going to have 2015, 2016 swagger. I doubt it. We may not see a team like that for a while.
Well, Donaldson's not on the team.
No, exactly. But at least turn the Rogers Center into an uncomfortable environment for teams.
Sure.
You know, and I will be very interested in seeing what happens if they end up sweeping the Athletics and the Phillies come into town after an off day. I'll be interested in seeing what they show against the Phillies because that to me is that's. If this thing goes the way it looks like it's going to go, that will be a telltale series for me. You'll have had a day off. You'll have your rotation lined up. Your bullpen will be rested. You've got Jimenez back, hopefully. Eric Swanson's here. So we'll get a better sense, I think, of this team in those three games. I'm really looking forward to those three games. I think those three games are merging. Maybe not the biggest three games of the year, but I think we'll learn a little more about this team over those three games.
Yeah, that's what Dan Shulman said today too when we had him on our show. Was, you know, look at the Phillies games. That'll be an important way to figure out who you are as a team. I think Vladdy's timing's getting better. That's going to help.
Well, Chris Bassett was asked about his outing tonight. And not surprisingly, Chris Bassett had some thoughts about his outing tonight.
Again, emotions are raw right now, and I don't really want to like overstep and say something I really don't mean. So I don't exactly know what is causing all the issues. So something's got to be fixed. It's been way too inconsistent of a year. When I'm on, I'm really good, but half the time I'm off. Not eating any innings, not having quality starts. Like, I guess you can try to make this and say I'm having a decent year, but I think I've been terrible. I think we just have to figure out if things need to be changed or what. It's not good enough.
Well, I mean, Chris Bassett, one thing about him, he takes ownership of the situation.
Yep.
Sometimes too much ownership of the situation.
That's how he feels, though.
That's how he feels right now.
He's not talking about a teammate. He's talking about himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's cool. I agree with him. I think location, I think he's trying to force velocity, too. When you do that, you're grunting. Things are straighter. Things don't go where you want them to go. I think if he, you know, most of the time when you get a little older, it's mechanical. You know, I think all the time offensively, it's not. It's what you swing at. But when you get a little older, and, you know, it's like the Springer thing. Springer changed things, right? The way just optically he looks when he walks to the plate just looks different. Not because he wanted to, because he had to. I think that's where Chris is at. Like, mechanically, just something needs to give. I don't know what that would be, because they're always doing something behind the scenes that they'll never tell you about. So I'm not exactly sure what that'll be. Maybe he eliminates two or three pitches. Maybe he doesn't throw two different breaking balls and a split finger and two different heaters and a four-seamer maybe, occasionally. Simplify that thing, man. You got three or four pitches instead of seven or eight pitches. Try that.
Or maybe you change up a little bit how you're calling pitches, who's calling pitches. I don't know. Maybe put Heinemann back there. I'm not blaming Kirky, but I'm just saying maybe you do stuff like that. One of the issues
– maybe.
One of the issues the Jays seemed to have with Bassett earlier this year was his rhythm. So they'll put their heads together. They'll come up with an answer. But, hey, if your team's going to score 11 runs for you and cover your ass every now and then, it's not a bad thing either.
Yeah.
11-7, the Blue Jays have beaten the Athletics. Game 3 of the 4-game series goes tomorrow. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Fort Erie and Dunville. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. So protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center, or you can visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.